From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, the red king crab population in southeast Alaska is looking up. That means for the first time in 6 years, southeast will open to commercial fishing for the crab. But whether it will be profitable is another matter. Also, the city of Kodiak is one of the few places in Alaska where it's not permitted for harvesters to sell their catches directly from their vessels. Now the local government is rethinking that policy. Then more coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by AK Teach, now enrolling K through 12 homeschool students throughout the state of Alaska.
The market for fresh halibut is suffering. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has more.
For the first time in 4 years, fresh halibut prices have tumbled, with reports of some major buyers turning away deliveries. Others are only buying from longtime boats. Prices at Kodiak dropped about a dollar from the more than $7 paid on average for a few years running. Now restaurants and retailers are turning their backs on the exorbitant prices over such an extended period. One commented, "Who in their right mind is going to pay $30 or more for a pound of fish?" Adding to the hurt, competition from up to 12 million pounds of cheaper Atlantic halibut coming to markets from Canada. Alaska's halibut and sablefish fisheries continue through November 7th. Tons of cod, pollock, flounders, and whitefish of all kinds are still crossing the docks at Kodiak and Dutch Harbor. No trawl fishing is permitted in the eastern Gulf of Alaska, but it's still a fall hotspot. In southeast, October 1st marked the start of fisheries for Dungeness crab, spot shrimp, gooey duck clams, sea cucumbers, and red urchins. Trollers will be out on the water on the 11th for winter king salmon, and a small red king crab fishery will open for the first time in 6 years on November 1st. Bering Sea crabbers will know any day the status of their fisheries, which open on October 15th. The North Pacific Council is meeting through October 11th in Anchorage. You can tune in online. The State Board of Fisheries will review 18 agenda change requests at an Anchorage work session October 17th through 19th. Find links at alaskafishradio.com.
Southeast Alaska will open to commercial fishing for red king crab this fall for the first time in 6 years. As KFSK's Angela Denning reports, the crab population has seen a steady increase, according to state surveys.
Red king crab are the largest shellfish in the state and can weigh up to 24 pounds and have a leg span of 5 feet. What commercial fishermen in Southeast haul in is smaller, usually around 8 to 9 pounds, but they are still worth a lot. Red king crab brought nearly $11 a pound during the last opening in 2011, so it's not unheard of to bring in a $100 crab. The last fishery was worth nearly $1.9 million at the dock. But whether the opening set for November 1st will be lucrative is still to be seen. Joe Stratman is Alaska Department of Fish and Game's lead crab biologist for Southeast. He says the red crab population has been on the rise since 2013.
Basically, for the last 4 or 5 seasons, we've seen improvement in legal mature biomass estimates in Southeast. And now they've gotten to the level where we reach this a harvestable surplus.
Fish and Game monitors the population through annual surveys where they catch and sample crab. They also work with local fishermen on a mark and recapture project. They track 2 groups of king crab, the legal biomass, or crab that are big enough to be harvested in the commercial fishery, and the mature biomass, which also includes crab that are sexually mature but not big enough to be landed. Stratman says both numbers look good this year.
These adjusted biomass estimates amount to a 40% increase in the legal male biomass and a 41% increase in mature male biomass from last season.
He says that's the largest increase in a few decades. The state can open Southeast commercial season if the estimated amount of legal-size male king crab tops a harvestable surplus of at least 200,000 pounds. This year, it's just above that. Managers will be keeping close tabs on the fishery. They're splitting the region into 6 fishable areas. They will open for only 24 hours, then close for 4 days for sampling. Then 2 areas will reopen for a length of time that will be decided later by managers. 59 fishermen in Southeast have permits to participate in the fishery. KFSK contacted some of them in Petersburg. Nick Versteeg of Petersburg, who has been fishing his whole life, says the opening is short, but it's better than nothing. Craig Evans, who has been fishing in Petersburg for 40 years, says he was confused by the announcement. He says he's not sure how it's going to work with a 24-hour opening, then a closure, and then a reopening. Still, he says he's glad there is at least some kind of opportunity. Several other fishermen say they aren't happy with the opening, but didn't want to be interviewed. The population of Southeast's Red King crab has been in flux, according to Fish and Game. Back in the 1990s and early 2000s, there were commercial openings nearly every year. But then there was a decline for about 12 years. The population was dropping about 7% annually, and then it started to rebound. Stratman says they aren't sure why the population has changed.
We know what we see in the survey, and we've seen a decrease in the early 2000s. It was fairly prolonged, but now we're seeing an increase.
This fall's commercial opening will allow fishing in more southern, non-traditional areas than in previous fisheries. Stratman says managers have created northern and southern non-surveyed areas with two separate harvest levels.
Based on what we've heard from the fleet, I think splitting it up this way, I think it'll allow for the time that they're looking for.
Fishermen can also take blue king crab in the fishery, but they are incidental catches, representing only about 1% of the king crab population in Southeast. The increased population of red crab is also allowing more liberalized bag limits for the personal use fishery outside of the Juneau area. Starting in November, the bag limit will increase from one crab a day to three or six, depending on the location. But red king crab aren't easy to get. They prefer deeper water, starting around 150 feet. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their family.
People had 48 hours this week to dive Kodiak waters for a spiky delicacy known as the Red Sea Cucumber. Groundfish, shellfish, and dive fisheries area management biologist Nathaniel Nichols says the first weekly fishing period for cucumbers opened on Sunday.
It's a winter fishery by regulation. It's October through April. We haven't fished in the spring in a number of years just because it's we've caught all of it in the fall.
Some areas are more active than others. Nichols says divers generally harvest roughly 70,000 pounds around Sikelitik Strait. He says Alatak Bay and Uyak Bay are also popular. The high-value, low-volume fishery is competitive, he says, and they meet their guideline harvest level every season. This year, there are about 20 or 22 divers targeting 120,000 pounds. He says they usually meet half the GHL in the first period.
So I'm expecting something in the neighborhood of 40,000 pounds, 50, possibly up to 60. The weather's not ideal this period, so that'll probably slow harvest down a little bit.
The first fishing period ended Tuesday. Fishermen in Alaska pulled in a lot of chum this year. Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch has more.
From Southeast to Kotzebue, huge numbers of chum salmon returned home to Alaska this summer, and catches made record books in many regions. The statewide haul has topped 24.5 million chums, the highest catch in 17 years.
It's a great year to have a big catch.
Andy Wink, the McDowell Group's top fisheries economist, says the market for Alaska chums, also sold as Kita, could not be better.
Some years you get into a situation where, the more you produce, there's just not enough demand to soak it all up, and prices really come down. And not to say we won't see a little price effect on this because it's a record year, but it's just that all these factors coming into this season were really supportive for chum.
The chum harvest in Japan, one of the largest producers, was down 30% in a run of several years' bad catches. And higher-priced farmed salmon has buyers looking for other options.
Those high farm prices kind of raise the bar for everything else, and it gets more people interested about doing stuff with Keita. I think Keita also benefits from all the sockeye promotions, too.
Wink says there has been a tremendous amount of retail advertising promoting Alaska salmon, with several big chains like Publix doing a promotional salmon series.
They go from sockeye to chum to coho. I think that makes for a really nice progression.
The chum roe market also will be ripe. Chum roe is the most valuable of all salmon roes, and Japan's harvest shortfall will boost up demand for Alaska supply. Wholesale prices for all salmon roe skyrocketed during the first 4 months of this year, according to the Alaska Department of Revenue. For chum salmon, the price averaged $20.03 a pound, up from $15.44 at the same time last year. Find links to all Alaska catches at AlaskaFishRadio.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at AlaskaSeafood.org.
The city of Kodiak is carving out what harvester-to-consumer sale will look like within city limits. Right now, city code prohibits fishermen from selling their catch directly from the harbor. After some prompting from the community, staff is working on changing that. Direct sale to residents is already permitted statewide. At a city council work session recently, Deputy City Manager Matt Vandale said staff had drafted the new code based on existing models in Sitka, Ketchikan, and Petersburg. He said it's meant to be a starting point for discussion. Harbor Master Lon White gave his thoughts about what the sale could look like in the city.
I think that there is some justification for not just allowing this to happen everywhere throughout the harbors. There's rationale for designating places that are convenient, safe, maybe centrally located.
He suggested the new Channel Transient float as the possible location. Councilman Gabriel Saravia seconded the idea of forming a fish market area. He said that'd make it easier for harbor management and public access. Fish from across Alaska and the lower 48 is going toward recovery from hurricanes Harvey and Irma. Washington-based nonprofit SeaShare, which works with seafood companies to donate fish to those in need, is partnering with food bank network Feeding America on the disaster relief. That's according to a press release where the nonprofit writes that 2 million servings of seafood are headed to food banks in Miami, Houston, and 10 other states. SeaShare Executive Director Jim Harmon says the last time the organization rallied donations like this was in the wake of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. Harmon says that the majority of the fish still comes from Alaska, but the recent need has caught the attention of the seafood industry nationwide.
We've been able to show the other seafood companies around the country, you know, how the Alaska processors and the Seattle processors have stepped up, and, you know, so we've got some great donations from New Hampshire, Chicago.
He says among the donations are 30,000 pounds of salmon steak that came out of the Bering Sea and 2 truckloads of Alaska-fished pollock. And according to the press release, SeaShare is also seeking shelf-stable donations to aid Puerto Rico's recovery from Hurricane Maria. Companies can reach out to info@seashare.org if they have cans or pouches of seafood to send.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from KFSK's Angela Denning in Petersburg and Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch in Kodiak. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.